Isaiah 7 this morning. We've never preached out of this chapter that I know of on Sunday morning. But we intend to this morning because of one little verse. And in fact, if you were following the reading this morning, you might have picked up on the reason why we went to Isaiah chapter 7. Because in Isaiah 7, we have a verse 14, the last part of which says, "Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel." That particular prophecy is what we're going to look at this morning out of Isaiah chapter 7. Let's pray before we continue. Lord, thank you again once more for your word. Lord, you are the heart of the scriptures. The scriptures are about you. Lord, in the Old Testament, you're concealed. The people could not see you clearly, but in retrospect, we can see many pictures concerning yourself. Isaiah himself was used on a number of occasions to talk about you, your life, your ministry, what it would be like, and the things that would be going on in the world at that time. And Lord, we thank you that Isaiah was that faithful prophet for years and years. It reminds us, Lord, that in our present day, we need those who faithfully share your word. Help us to be one who does that. But more than that, Lord, I pray that you would help this people to faithfully present your truth to a world that needs truth. God, we just praise you for each and every confession of faith and profession of Christ that's here this morning. Every person is important. All of us, Lord, need to know more about you. Because God, as we know you personally, we can share you with a world that needs you so desperately. A world that's awash in trouble. A world that doesn't know peace. A world that needs to know peace in each individual heart. A peace that only comes from you, Lord Jesus. I pray that you'll guide us this morning. Help us to see that in the midst of despair, God, you bring us that hope, that ray of hope, through the promise of a one who would remind us that God is still with us. And your word that reminds us that if God be for us, who can be against us? So God, it's vital for us to be with you and to have you with us. Because, Lord, without you, we can do nothing. But the scriptures also remind us with you we can do all things through Christ. It's in his name we pray this morning, and we pray also that the Spirit of God would be with us, would guide us and teach us and encourage our hearts today as we think about the important truth that God is still with us today. We ask and pray this all in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Isaiah chapter 7 is a rather unusual text for a series of messages about Christmas. But really, here is the heart of the matter. As I began to think about what we would share in this season, I thought, we've been going through Luke here for a while, and Luke chapter 19 just doesn't fit very good. Oh, it's all about Jesus. It's about his work and the world in which he lived at that time and the ministry he was about. But really, when you begin to think about Christmas and the setting and what it's all about, it really goes back to the Old Testament and God's promises of old that he would send forth that one who would show us that God was still with us. in spite of who we were and what we are and how many times we failed, God is still with us. And it's more about God than it's about us. And the amazing thing in this text today to me is God speaks to a man who is a king. Well, he speaks to his prophet as well in this chapter. But he intends to speak to an ungodly king to show him that God would keep his purposes and his promises to David, that is King David, whom he promised there would come one in his lineage who would be that great promised one that God's people had always looked forward to. In fact, that promise goes way back beyond David. Now think that God even reminded his people of old back in the early times that God would raise up that one. That there would be not a another one like him, but they looked forward to that Shiloh that was to come. Genesis 49:10. That they looked to one who would be like Moses of old. Back in the early days. When Moses led God's people out of slavery and bondage, which was a picture of sin, which really so many people are bound by sin today, aren't they? And so there were all these promises of old that God would send forth that mighty one to show himself to his people. And God chooses to reveal himself to a man named Ahaz. And if you look in God's word, he's described as one of the ungodly kings. He didn't do like his father before him or his grandfather, Uzziah or Uzzer or whatever you want to call him. He's an interesting fella. His grandfather was. In fact, he's in his reign, Isaiah said in the previous chapter, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. It was in his grandfather's days. When Isaiah was first given a glimpse of the glory of God. And now God is going to reveal some of that glory to his grandson, although that grandson is far away from God. In fact, he's described as one who worshiped by every green tree, every idol. This guy was an adulterer deluxe. He would bow down to all the various different idols there were around. But still listen to me. God is the one that keeps his promises. And there's this lineage to carry on. And even though he's an ungodly man, his son becomes a godly king. Isn't that amazing? And when I follow the kings of Judah, I find godly and ungodly. And many times an ungodly son will follow a godly father. Doesn't seem to be any rhyme or reason. Can you all figure it out? I can't. Well, I can figure this. All have a choice, don't they? All have a choice to choose. Just like they were called to in the old days. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Choose you this day. And you know, people today have an opportunity to choose whether we're going to choose God or we're going to choose the world's way. And I'll tell you what, the world is really shouting loudly. Right? It's trying to get our youth to go in the wrong way. And I pray that our lives, people, listen to me, you are adults. I pray that our lives, our example, our testimony, our trueness to God's word would make a difference in their lives. I'm praying that our lives would be such that they'd see the right way. At least be exposed to it, right? Be exposed to God's truth. We can't force them to believe the truth, but we have the responsibility to share the truth. And then further, we have the responsibility to pray for them. Because just like the Israelites, faith can be strong in one generation and non-existent almost in the next. It amazes me. I'm concerned for America. America is very close to what Israel was, what Judah, let me put it right, Judah, the southern kingdoms, that is Judah and Benjamin, the two southern tribes, very close to what they were like in Ahaz's day. Look at it. God reminds them, though, that He is still with them. And the message for us is, guess what? He doesn't change. He's still with His people. In spite of the fact that they may stray away, God still desires for them to come back to Himself. Just like the son of the prodigal that looked and longed for that son to return. God is there for His people. Look what He says in Isaiah chapter 7, beginning in verse 1. And it came to pass in the days of Ahaz the son of Jotham, the son of Uzziah, king of Judah, that Rezin the king of Syria and Pekah the son of Remaliah, king of Israel, went up toward Jerusalem to war against it, but could not prevail against it. And it was told the house of David, saying, Syria is confederate with Ephraim, and his heart was moved, and the heart of his people, as the trees of the wood are moved with the wind. That kind of reminds me of today. Well, we're not got a real high wind for Kansas standards, but still 15 miles an hour or so. And I would imagine that'd be a wind in most countries, most places. And so it's blowing. And trees tend to move with the wind. And the description here is the southern kingdom is concerned and confused, and they're frightened because they hear of this alliance. Either one of those two kingdoms that would oppose them could not go against them individually, but together they could make a formidable attack on the southern kingdom. Now, what you got here is Ephraim, that refers, or Israel, either one of those terms, refer to the 10 northern kingdoms. Ten northern tribes of Israel. They are making an alliance with Syria. Well, that's kind of like a sod today, isn't it? Syria? Sod, they're still in the news. It's amazing how that gets in there, opposing God's people. Would that be correct? Okay, so here's this northern confederacy, Syria, and the ten northern tribes are opposed to Judah, the southern kingdom, which is comprised basically of Judah plus Benjamin, much smaller tribe, right next to it. Those are considered the two faithful tribes in the south. And the reason they have such prominence is Jerusalem is in Judah. Okay? There's the seat of worship. Now, Ephraim on a number of occasions had tried to establish a place of worship in the north, contrary to what God wanted them to do. Okay? And so they'd attempted to do that. They'd on a number of occasions worshipped some golden calves. Does that sound familiar? Okay. And various other things. And because of their falling away from God and His truth and His true worship, these kingdoms in the north were the first disposed and taken away the other countries. They were the first ones overcome. But at this particular incident here, they are opposing the southern kingdom. And Ephraim is so, they're so at odds. The northern kingdoms are so at odds with the southern kingdom that they can't get along. They've decided to align with Syria. That shows how far off they've got. With ungodly peoples, they unite themselves so that they might oppose their brethren. It'd be like us if we got crossways with some other group of Baptists almost. And we decided that, we was going to have it out. I'll tell you what, you're in a bad situation if you're opposing your brothers. Right? God wants us to live together. Amen? Peace and harmony. But that wasn't going on. And so here you have, and one of the reasons the problems are coming, I submit, is that Ahaz was directing the southern kingdom away from God. You read other cross references, like you go back in the Kings and the Chronicles. By the way, those are times where they talk about the reigns of the various different kings. And you can compare those with this time in Ahaz. And you're basically in 2 Kings 16, 17, in that range. And 2 Chronicles also has references as well to Ahaz. And all of them refer to him as one who went away from God and he worshipped and served every other idol except God. And so that leads to God beginning what I think is his chastening process. You realize God's word is always true. And his word says, if judgment begin at the house of God, what shall be end of those who believe not? That's the basic summation of those scriptures in the New Testament. And so what God is going to do, he's going to judge the ones who are the closest to God. Now, it's pretty bad when the ones who are closest to God are a long ways away from God. Amen? And that's where the southern kingdom was in Ahaz's day. And it's told them here that they have this problem. There's an alliance affixed between these two kingdoms of Syria and Israel, the northern kingdom. And they've decided and they've purposed, we're going to go down and we're going to conquer Judah. We're going to take control of that area. And I think they were going to put up their own puppet king. And they were going to establish their own kingdom and have it all for themselves. Now, when people decide they're going to do things like that, they need to take one thing in mind. God always has the last word. Amen. Listen, God always has the last word. We may purpose we're going to do some things. In fact, I'll give you an example. This doesn't even pertain to this, but there's an example. The Apostle Paul had some Jewish friends. And they intended that they were going to make some money. What they're going to do is they're going to buy low and sell high. They said, we're going to go to this city, we're going to buy and sell and get gain. That's what they said they were going to do. Now Paul, he wrote back to him and said, wait a minute. You left out one factor. The all-important factor. And that factor is this. You must say, if the Lord wills, we'll do this and that. If the Lord wills. If God doesn't will it, if God's not in it, you'll probably go over there and lose it all. You'll buy and you'll sell and you get lost. You ever been there? Yeah. You need one or two of those experiences. If God isn't in it, it's not going to happen. Of course, being ungodly people, the king of Syria and the king of Israel, they thought, oh, we've got this plan. There's two of us. Together we're stronger than Judah, that southern kingdom. And in fact, on paper, they were. The only problem is they miscalculated. Do you realize you and God are a majority? Doesn't matter how big the opposition is. If God is for us, it doesn't matter who's against us. Right? On the other hand, if God's against us, it doesn't matter who's with us. It's not going to happen no way, no how. And so, Israel, though, was in distress. Israel was concerned. They didn't know what to do. They didn't know which way to turn. The interesting thing is, about the time we don't know which way to go, God shows up on the scene. And so we have Isaiah's direction. I'm glad for those who are faithful to present God's truth to the world today. Because we have similar situations going on today. When you think about the Middle East, and you look at Israel, and how small she is today, even compared to this day, she is but a fraction of the size of what she once was. And think about it. They didn't have missiles that could shoot from here to there, like they do today. Their armies marched on foot, or rode aback maybe a horse once in a while. But most of the armies were afoot, and they had spears and arrows and things like that, instead of missiles coming in on you. And here's little old Israel. She's surrounded by all these peaceful people. I call them Palestinians. That's what they call themselves. We're Palestinians. News talks about Israeli squatters. I'm here this morning to tell you all them Palestinians squatting on Israel's ground. That's what God's book says. God said it's their place. I'm giving it to them. But until Jesus comes, listen, till Jesus comes, that won't happen. It won't happen. Because we got too many people in the world that don't believe the book. Amen. That's the problem. And so God speaks to a prophet named Isaiah. Notice verse 3. Isaiah's direction. Then said the Lord unto Isaiah, go forth now to meet Ahaz, thou and she, Armosh, I can't even pronounce it, thy son. Now, one little ditty on the side here. That particular son, his name means a remnant shall return. The prophet was told what names to give his children. This son's name was given for an encouragement to the Israelites. A reminder that though they be chastened, though they even may be taken out of their homeland, a remnant would return. God would bring His people back to that place again. And that's the reason I brought up the fact that this morning that Israel doesn't have all its land yet. Israel will be much larger in Christ's kingdom. You might want to go back in Genesis and look at it. It's rather interesting. You won't even have to talk about Syria anymore, because it'll be a part of Israel. You won't even have to talk about all those Palestinians and how much they want the land and want a state of their own, because it'll be Israel's. God has a plan. It doesn't matter what man's plan is. He better be lining up with God, because God's truth is going to happen. And He says to Isaiah, take your son, you meet Ahaz at the end of the conduit of the upper pool of the highway, the fuller's field. You see, Judah for Jerusalem had this waterway that they'd bring water from this pool to the north, almost like an artesian well that came up, and so they channeled it down to Jerusalem. What he's doing, I think, is trying to decide how he can secure that water for the city so that they can hold out. Now, if somebody would shut off that water supply, you couldn't last very long. And so I think what he's doing up there is he's with his men. He's surveying this situation, because he hears those other kings are coming against him, and he wants to have this water supply secured for them. It's interesting that you can go over to Israel and you can look at, and it's hewn out of rock. And a man can go about like this, down through that thing. They think they took the water down through underneath, so that they had fresh water supply and they'd be secure. Water, vital, right? I mean, it's one of the first things you need. You're going to be secure. So here he is looking at that, and here shows up the prophet with his little son carrying it. Well, quite a scene. And he shows up, and God is going to tell the prophet, give him direction on what to say. So say to him, take heed and be quiet, fear not, neither be faint-hearted, for the two tails of these smoking firebrands, for the fierce anger of reason with Syrian, the son of Remaliah, because Syria, Ephraim, and the son of Remaliah have taken evil counsel against thee, saying, let us go against Judah and vex it, let us make a breach therein for us, and set a king in the midst of it, even the son of Tebal. So, thus saith the Lord, it shall not stand, neither shall it come to pass. See, they've got a plan. But God said, won't stand, won't come to pass, I've said the word, that's fine. Now, back to verse 4. There's several things I want you to notice. What does God tell the prophet to say to the king? Take heed. First of all, take heed. In other words, sit up and listen. I've got something important to tell you. Take heed. It's kind of like when your professor gives a lecture, or the teacher gives a lecture. Sometimes they would say, this might show up on the test. Different teachers have different ways, don't they? But often, if you've been under them very long, you'll pick up on, hey, this is a key point. God says, prophet, you tell him, take heed, listen. Listen to what I have to say. Ahaz hadn't been listening to God. He hadn't been heeding God for a long time. God says, hey, it's time for you to take notice. It's time for you to listen. I have a word for you. Guess what? God has a word for us too. If we're willing to listen. It's right here. It ought to be our guide for life. Amen?
Amen.
God will teach us the ways of life through it. Take heed and be quiet. Be quiet. Be quiet. So the kingdom was described as like a tree blowing around in the wind. And I'm sure there was all kinds of confusion and commotion and people were all upset. Didn't know which way to go, what to do. When people get confused and don't know what to do, a lot of times they just ramble on and say hardly nothing. Right? I hope we don't get that way. Right? Because we need to have something that's pertinent for people's lives right here and now, don't we? These things are written for examples to teach us about God and His ways. We need to take heed. Secondly, be quiet. Listen and know that He's God. Listen and know that He's in control. Listen to His direction, because He has a direction for each and every one of us to go. And then follow that direction. Notice He says, fear not. Fear not. You realize how many times God has to say fear not to His people? Fear not, because we get fearful. Things begin to go all crazy in our lives and we get fearful. When things get fearful, we need to learn to be quiet, to heed God, to look to Him, to listen to Him. Because I'm reminding you this morning that God is always in control. Oh, it may look chaos, like chaos here and now. In many places of the world, it is chaos. Your life may be like chaos. You may be feeling like everything's going wrong. All these troubles in my life. That can be life. Real life. That's the time to listen to what God has to say. Hey, God's still in control. And you know what? One of the great things is, I like one of the radio programs that says, God's still on the throne. And prayer changes things.
Amen.
Why? Because God is still a hearer of the prayers of His people. God wants to make a difference in all our lives. That's the God we serve. He cares about us. And the amazing thing to me is He cared about Ahaz and Israel. Why? Because that is part of the genealogy through which Christ would come. Oh, Satan had a plan in all this. He wanted to destroy that lineage. He wanted to stop it right there and then. And he tries to do that again and again. Even when Christ was born, he tried to do that. But God's plans will not fail. Oh, the world thinks it can change things. But they mistakenly underestimate God and His plans. Israel was in distress. Isaiah has a great direction. In fact, gives a silent testimony through his son, who says a remnant shall return. And then we find an unusual statement. Look at verse 10. Verse 10 says, moreover, the Lord spake again unto Ahaz, saying, aren't you glad that God speaks to us again and again? He doesn't just say one thing and stop at that, but God has another word for us, and He had one for Ahaz. And He says, you know, when our faith is wavering, when our faith is weak, Many times God will give us a direction by giving a sign. Of old times, many people had signs. Remember Gideon? He asked a sign, didn't he? Remember that fleece? Wet, not wet. Now, that had to take a miracle, didn't it? To have a dry fleece when everything else was all wet. And likewise, a wet fleece and dry ground. That's God. God gave him a sign because his faith was small and he was wavering. But you know what? God didn't look at that little faith. God looked at him at what he would be. And God said, "Thou mighty man of valor." I think at the very moment he was there hiding, isn't God interesting? That God looks at us not as where we are, but where we're going to be. And so he says, "Ask thee a sign of the Lord thy God. Ask it either in the depth or in the height above." It doesn't matter what kind of sign you want. I'll give you a sign. Ask a sign. Now, when God directly says, "Ask a sign," you better be coming up with a sign.
That's right.
Don't you think? God specifically says, "Okay, King, you ask any kind of a sign there is. It doesn't matter what kind of sign. Whether you want the sign up here in the heavens, whether you want down in the earth, doesn't matter where you want that sign, what kind of sign you want, ask it and I'll show you a sign." And that was there, I think, promised because God wanted to convince this king that he's God, that he has this thing in control. And therefore the king could give confidence to the people that he served. Notice Ahaz's response, verse 12. Ahaz said, "I will not ask, neither will I tempt the Lord." Now, wait a minute. You're not tempting God. If you ask a sign he's asked you to ask for, are you? No. God's asking. Oh, ask any kind of a sign and I'll show it to you. He says,
"I'm not going to tempt the Lord with something like that."
Wow. What a hypocrite. Verse 13, he said, "Hear ye now, O house of David. Is it a small thing for you to weary men? But will you weary my God also?" I think that's probably on the part of Isaiah. He probably got weary with Ahaz, don't you suppose? Trying to give him direction, he wouldn't listen. But he says, "The worst part of this all is you're wearying God." I pray that I'll never make God weary with me. Amen? That I'll be willing to do whatever it is God asks me to do. "Therefore the Lord himself," he says, "shall give thee a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." Now, that's rather an interesting sign because that sign is mentioned in the New Testament, isn't it? The virgin shall conceive and bear a son and call his name Emmanuel, God with us. Why do you suppose he had that name? For the confirmation of God's people. It doesn't matter who's against us. If God is for us, if God is with us, we have nothing to fear. Nothing at all. In fact, the rest of this chapter, it goes ahead to describe how those two kings will be put down before that little child that the prophet was carrying would even know between good and wrong. And it happened, just like God said. You know what? It doesn't matter in this world either who may oppose God, who may oppose Israel. Listen, who may oppose Israel? Doesn't matter what the world, the thing we give most of the money for in New York City. You all know. United Nations, yeah. You realize we supply the lion's share of the money for that thing? And that thing has basically done no good for us. And now a whole bunch of those little nations have got together with the Palestinians and they're going to declare them a state. They're in that process. Because we got to be nice to everybody now. We don't care what Israel is about. I'll tell you what, we get on the wrong side of that baby, we're in big trouble. I don't want to put the fear. Well, maybe I do. I was going to say I don't want to put the fear of God in you, but I really do. Because it wouldn't take much to tip this nation upside down. Mm-hmm. We're in a bad mess. You don't realize how economically unsound we are? And a lot of it has to do with this. We've trusted things other than God more. And it's time we need to go back to trusting God, believing God, following His Word, living out His truths. The Word of God says the borrower is servant to the lender. And right now we owe other countries far too much. I realize I'm preaching to the crowd for the most part, but it's time for us to know what it's all about. And we can't be on the dole forever for every project that comes down the highway. We've had politicians after politicians that have voted for any and every project. Most of them couldn't get enough financing. And they still want more. And I know if I spent like our U.S. government does, I'd been broke a long time ago. I've been in jail, yeah. Yeah, well, that's true. Actually, probably most of them need to go to jail for misappropriation of funds. That's my viewpoint, personally. Because things that were meant for certain projects were spent on other projects. And that's not in here, but it all goes together. Because if we don't believe God's Word and follow God's Word and trust men more than God, we're in trouble. But I'm glad God has the last word. Aren't you? And I'm glad this is not my permanent home. Because I wouldn't have much confidence in that. Or me keeping that. We are living in perilous times, people. We're living in a time when people need to know God. They need to know that God's people need to know this. Emmanuel is still with us. He's still with us. In spite of what goes on, He will still take care of us. But we've got to honor His Word and live by His principles of truth each and every day. And I pray that God will help us this season to show people Jesus is the answer. He's the only hope this world has. The UN can't solve the problems. They can't bring peace. Our military can't bring peace. I don't care who you have, they can't bring peace. And they can't keep us safe. And we don't have anybody smart enough up there in Washington, D.C. to get us out of this mess. I'm convinced of that now. I'm just a simple country boy. But I figured this out a long time ago. The only way you get yourselves out of such a dire mess is you spend less. You spend less. And you pay down your debt. You cinch up that belt, and it's going to hurt. You cinch up that belt, and you go forward, and you pay it down. Because, listen to me, while I'm on the subject. If we keep on this path, it's so perilous. And the reason it's perilous is because interest rates are so low. If interest rates would double or triple, there'd be no way. No way. But right now, our government has purposely kept the interest rates low so that they can keep on the hoax. One day it's coming. Come. I pray you'll be ready. Get your financial house in order, people, as best you can. Because it's a coming. Amen?
Yeah.
I don't want any of you in trouble. If you're in trouble, we'll try to get through somehow, some way. Amen? But most of all, we'll look to God. And we'll trust Him.
Amen.
Because He's the only one that can help us in the end. That's why the Lord showed Himself to Ahaz. He wanted him to see, even though you've been a long way from me, if you come back, if you heed me, and you respond to me, you'll be blessed in the end. The same thing's true for us. Doesn't matter how far we've got off the beaten path, as a people or a country, we can come back to the truth of God's Word and get out of this mess that we're in. Whether it's economically, spiritually, doesn't matter. God is the source of our health and strength today, just like He was in Ahaz's day. He's our promise for the future. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You for Your Word this morning. God, I just pray that You will be with our people, watch over them, bless them, encourage them. Help us, Lord, to get our houses in order, even as You called Ahaz to get his house in order, and to encourage us as Your people to look to You, to remind us that You're still with us, that You desire to bless us and to meet our needs. Help us, Lord, in this season to be reminded of the blessings it is to have a Savior who cares for us, who gave His life eventually upon the cross so that we might have eternal life with Him. God, I just pray Your blessings now upon Your people. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen.